You know that feeling. It's like Christmas morning for your computer.
Oh, yeah.
You've just installed a beautiful high refresh rate OLED monitor. Or maybe you snapped in some lightning fast DDR5 RAM.
Or you just cracked open your PS5 to install that huge, expensive M2 SSD.
Exactly. You boot everything up, you load that first game, and you think to yourself, I am finally running at peak performance. I am unstoppable.
But you're probably not.
Not even close. And the sources we collected, they reveal this serious and pretty widespread tragedy, really. You're leaving frames per second and sometimes entire gigabytes of storage just sitting on the table.
All because of these overly cautious or maybe just lazy default settings. That high-end hardware you just paid for, it's running at a fraction of its true potential. It's
Yeah.
just wasted investment.
It's the cruelest kind of throttling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's completely self-inflicted.
But also, and this is the good part, completely reversible. Think of it like a governor that someone left on a sports car. So our mission today is to give you a definitive shortcut checklist. This deep dive is all about making sure your system is running at 100% efficiency.
Getting every frame and every gigabyte you paid for.
Exactly. And we're going to start with the single most common mistake in modern PC setup.
And this one is so pervasive, we're actually calling it the silent tragedy. It is the most heartbreaking visual blunder I can think of.
I've seen it so many times.
You've spent, what, hundreds of dollars on a gorgeous screen? 240 hertz, 360 hertz. You plug it in, the colors look fantastic, the clarity is amazing, and you start playing.
And you think you're getting the full experience.
You do. But unless you took one very specific, very quick step, you are probably still only viewing 60 frames per second.
It's tragic because Windows defaults almost all connected displays to 60 hertz. It's all about maximum compatibility, not actual speed.
So no matter how fast your screen is, Windows just kind of dumbs it down.
Right. You've paid for that Ferrari, but the software is locking you to the speed limit of a scooter.
It instantly nullifies the biggest selling point of the whole thing.
It does. I've seen countless users spend a fortune on high refresh rates, only to complain their games still feel choppy because they missed this 30-second fix.
Okay, so let's walk everyone through it. How do you fix this?
So, to unlock your visual experience, you start on the desktop. Just right-click anywhere that's blank and select Display Settings.
Okay, easy enough.
Then scroll down. You're looking for the Related Settings section, and you want to click on Advanced Display.
Advanced display. Got it.
That's where the truth lives. Find the drop-down menu that's labeled Choose a Refresh Rate.
And if that menu says 60.00 hertz, you are our prime candidate today. That is the proof that your monitor has been visually shackled since you plugged it in.
That's it. So you click that menu and you select the absolute highest number available. It might be 144, 240, whatever your panel supports.
And the screen will flicker for a second, right?
Yeah, it'll go black for a moment as it switches modes, and you have to click Keep Changes to confirm it. That simple action finally lets the hardware run at its real speed.
Okay, so sticking with visuals, especially for people who got a new OLED or something similar, there's a second common pitfall: HDR, high dynamic range.
Yeah.
People just flip the Windows 11 HDR setting on, and suddenly the image looks washed out, kind of grayish. It completely ruins those deep, inky OLED blacks.
And that leads a lot of users to think that Windows HDR is just broken. It's not, but it is incomplete.
What do you mean by incomplete?
The sources are really clear on this. Windows just applies a generic one-size-fits-all color profile. And if you bought an advanced monitor, that generic profile just doesn't work. It causes color clipping, that washed-out look, because it has no idea what your screen's actual brightness or contrast ratios are.
So it's trying to treat an $800 OLED the same way it treats a $150 office monitor.
Precisely. The solution is you have to create a custom color profile for your specific screen.
How do you do that?
You need to download and run the free app called the Windows HDR Calibration app. It's in the Microsoft Store.
Okay.
And this little utility, it walks you through a few quick visual tests, adjusting black points and white points. When you're done, it generates a unique color profile just for your monitor. This guarantees that your deep blacks stay black and the bright highlights really pop.
So the takeaway is, do not turn on Windows HDR without running that calibration app first.
Never. It's a must-do step.
Okay, that covers visual fidelity.
Yeah.
We've gone from 60 hertz hell to perfectly calibrated HDR. Now, we need to dive into the engine room,
The BIOS.
the BIOS, where the real performance throttles are hidden. Let's start with memory, with RAM.
A huge source of confusion.
It is. You see the product name, DDR5 6000 millihertz.
I'm
You think, I bought the fast one. But the sources point out this serious irony. When you boot up, the motherboard intentionally hobbles that expensive memory. Why would it do that?
It's all about safety, which really just translates to a safety speed limit. There's an industry standard called JEDEC, which guarantees stability across every motherboard and CPU combo out there.
Okay.
For high-speed RAM, that JEDEC default is it's a lot slower, usually 4,800 millivolts. Your motherboard uses that slow speed by default because it's a non-negotiable guarantee that your system will actually boot.
But if you leave it there, you're missing out on some serious performance.
Oh, yeah. The sources confirm this isn't just theory. This RAM bottleneck can cost you 10 to 20 frames per second in CPU-heavy games, sometimes even more.
Wow.
If you're playing competitive titles, those lost frames are the difference between a smooth experience and, you know, noticeable stuttering.
So we need to manually unlock the speed we paid for, and that means entering the BIOS. Now, for a lot of our listeners, the BIOS sounds scary. It's the place you can accidentally break your computer. How do we do this without panicking?
We can do it with confidence because we're just using manufacturer-tested profiles. This isn't manual overclocking. It's just enabling the speed that's already on the box. Okay, you restart your PC, and you immediately start tapping the delete key, or sometimes it's the F2 key, until you see that BIOS interface pop up.
And once we're in?
Once you're in, no matter your motherboard brand, the term for the memory profile is pretty consistent. If you're an Intel user, you're looking for XMP.
Which is Extreme Memory Profile.
Right. And if you're an AMD Ryzen user, you're looking for XPO. You might also see older terms like DOCP on some boards, but it's the same idea.
And what do we do once we find that XMP or XPO setting? It's probably set to disabled by default.
You just switch it. You switch it from disabled to Profile 1. Your memory manufacturer guarantees that Profile 1 will work flawlessly and give you that full 6,000 millihertz speed.
You should see the number on the screen change, right?
Immediately. You'll see the frequency jump from, say, 4,800 right up to its maximum rated speed. Then you just press F10 to save the changes and exit. The system will restart and you're good to go.
That sounds simple enough. But what if someone sees a Profile 2? Should they try for a faster setting if there is one?
I would stick to Profile 1 at least initially. While some kits might include a faster secondary profile, Profile 1 is the one that's been most rigorously tested for the broadest range of motherboards. We're looking for guaranteed performance here, not instability.
And how can you double-check it worked once you're back in Windows?
Super easy. Open up Task Manager, go to the Performance tab, click on Memory, and then just check the Speed section. If it matches the speed on the box, the throttle is officially gone.
Fantastic. So we've got the memory screaming fast now, that handler in the CPU and memory bottleneck. But the graphics card, the GPU, it has its own little secret setting, doesn't it?
It does. A free performance upgrade.
We're moving on to something called resizable bar, or resize bar.
This is one of the most exciting free boosts available right now. See, historically, when your CPU needed to access the GPU's video memory, the VRAM, it was really limited.
How so?
It could only talk to the VRAM in these tiny, inefficient 256 megabyte chunks.
That's where the source material had that great analogy. It's like trying to drink a thick milkshake through a coffee stirrer.
Exactly. You have all this capacity, but the delivery pipe is just crippled. Resizable bar removes that arbitrary limit. It allows the CPU to access the entire pool of VRAM all at once.
Which means better communication, smoother frame times.
And in modern games, a documented 5 to 10% performance boost for free.
5 to 10% is huge. But enabling it, that seems to be where people get into trouble because it's not just one setting. It requires two specific things to be flipped, and one of them is easy to miss.
That's right. This is not a one-click process. It takes a little preparation. You restart the PC, you get back into the BIOS DEL or F2, and you'll probably need to press F7 to get into the advanced mode to see all the options.
Okay, we're back in the BIOS. What's step one?
Step one is absolutely critical. You have to navigate to either the PCI subsystem settings or sometimes it's in the boot menu. You're looking for a setting called above 4G decoding, and you must set it to enabled.
Wait, hold on. Why is that one critical? What does the setting called above 4G decoding have to do with this?
Because that setting is what tells the system to prepare a large block of address space needed for big memory chunks. If you don't enable that setting first, the option for resizable BIOS, it just won't appear in the menu. It's the prerequisite. It's the key that opens the next door.
Ah, that connects the dots. That explains why so many people get frustrated looking for the resize bar option and they can't find it. Okay, so step one is done. We've enabled above 4G decoding. Now what?
Yeah, you should see the option for resize bar support. You set that to auto or enabled. But wait, there's one last critical check.
Okay.
While you're still in the BIOS, you have to go to your boot options and make sure that CSM support, that's the compatibility support module,
yep.
is disabled.
Why does CSM block it? That seems totally unrelated.
It's all about legacy versus modern. CSM forces the computer to run in an older legacy BIOS mode, mainly for supporting ancient hardware or like Windows 7. Resizable bar is a modern feature. It requires the modern UEFI standard to work.
So if CSM is on, it forces that old mode, which can't support resize bar.
Precisely. Disabling CSM confirms you're running in the modern UEFI VI mode, which lets the feature work properly.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So after we save and exit, how do we confirm we actually unlock this thing?
The easiest way is through your graphics card driver. If you're an NVIDIA user, open the NVIDIA control panel, click on system information down in the corner, and just confirm that the line item resizable bar says yes. If it does, you just gave yourself a free performance bump.
Okay, shifting gears completely now. We're moving from speed to storage, and we're going to address probably the most frequent post-setup support question our sources see.
The invisible drive.
The invisible drive. I think anyone who's built a PC has felt that panic. You install a brand new M2 SSD, a WD Black, a Samsung. You boot into Windows, you open this PC,
yeah.
and it's not there.
And you immediately think you broke it.
You think you fried your $150 drive during installation.
You didn't break it. It's just uninitialized. I like to think of it like a new empty notebook. The pages are there, but Windows doesn't know how to write in it yet until you define the formatting. We call this the disk management ritual.
So how does the ritual begin?
It's simple. You right-click the Windows Start button, and you select Disk Management.
Okay.
As soon as that window opens, a pop-up will probably appear, prompting you to initialize the new disk. This is the critical moment. You must select GPT, that's GUID Partition Table.
And the sources are really emphatic about this. You should not choose MBR. Why not?
Because MBR, Master Boot Record, is ancient. It's Windows XP era tech. It's limited to 2 terabytes of storage. So if you have a 4 TB or 8 TB drive and you select MVR, you're instantly wasting huge chunks of your disk. GPT is the modern standard.
GPT chosen. Click OK. The drive is initialized, but it's still not showing up in this PC, right?
Correct. You'll see the new drive in the list at the bottom of the window, but it'll have a black bar labeled unallocated. That space needs a volume.
So you right-click it.
Right-click that black bar area, select New Simple Volume, click Next through all the prompts, give it a drive letter, maybe a useful name like Game Library. Once that bar turns blue and says Healthy, it'll pop up in this PC as a fully usable drive.
Perfect. Now let's do a quick but vital storage optimization for console users.
Yeah.
Let's talk PS5.
Yes.
You've installed a new M2 SSD.
Yeah.
The hard part is done, but the system's default behavior is, well, it's frustrating. The PS5 will just keep downloading new games to the internal storage.
It completely ignores your expensive new drive until that internal one is full.
So the massive effort of installing the drive is immediately undermined by the default.
Exactly. You need to strategically transfer control. You go to Settings, Storage, Installation, Location, and you have to manually update 2 settings here.
2 of them.
Yep. Change the setting for PS5 games and apps to point to your M2 SSD storage, and then do the exact same thing for PS4 games and apps.
And that's the fix for new downloads. But what about the, 800 gigabytes of games I already have clogging up my console storage?
This is a huge optimization tip. Do not delete and re-download them. That's a massive waste of time and internet bandwidth.
So what do you do?
Instead, go to Console Storage Games and Apps, select the Move tab, and just choose all the games you want to transfer. Moving games internally is incredibly fast.
How fast are we talking?
We're talking gigabytes per second, not megabits per second download speeds. It is shockingly fast and a massive time saver.
That is a life-changing tip for someone with a slow internet connection. You just save them hours, maybe days.
Absolutely.
Okay, before we wrap this up, let's do a quick high-value bonus tweak for people who just picked up a handheld, like a Steam Deck or an Aero Ally.
Handhelds are a special case. They rely on shared system memory, or RAM, for both the OS and the graphics memory, the VRAM. And by default, they often allocate a really conservative amount to VRAM, which can cause crashes in modern AAA games.
So how do you fix that on, say, an Aero Ally?
On the Ally, it's pretty easy. You open the Armory Crate application, you go to Settings, Operating Mode, GPU Settings, and you just need to change the VRAM allocation from the default 4 GB to 6 GB, or you can just select Auto.
And that one change prevents crashes in those heavy games.
It does. In games like The Last of Us or the Resident Evil 4 remake, it makes a huge difference.
And what about for Steam Deck users who are running Windows on their device?
The fix is similar, but it requires a quick trip to the BIOS. You hold volume up and the power button to get in, then you navigate to advanced, find UMA buffer size, and increasing that to 4 GB can give you a really solid performance lift in those AAA titles running under Windows.
So what does this all mean? We've covered, everything from visual fidelity, getting your full refresh rate, proper HDR, to the really complex stuff in the BIOS, unlocking your RAM and your GPU.
And we even sorted out the most common storage pitfalls for both PC and console.
Yeah.
By systematically addressing these common manufacturer defaults and these hidden settings, you've essentially just completed a comprehensive performance tune-up on your machine.
You're no longer running a throttled system that's just wasting the money you spend on it.
You now have a machine that's running at 100% efficiency.
Exactly. You've transformed your system. The hard work is all done.
So now, just run through the commander's final checklist in your head. Ask yourself, is my monitor set to the max refresh rate? Is my HDR calibrated?
Did I enable my RAM's XMP or XPO profile?
Is resizable bar enabled? And did I check that above 4G decoding box first? Is my new SSD initialized using GPK?
And finally, for the console players, did I update my PS5's installation location?
If you can confidently say yes to all of those, you have unlocked a significant performance margin that was just hidden away.
Now for a final provocative thought for you to consider.
Now that your machine is truly a beast, now that you've unlocked all that hidden potential, the next step is the ultimate test. What demanding graphical powerhouse of a game are you going to load up first? Maybe something like Cyberpunk 2077 or Alan Wake 2, to finally see in real time all the frames you were missing out on.